It's time now for Optimal Health with Dr. Christopher Calipe. Dr. Calipe is an osteopathic physician, board certified in family practice and chelation therapy, anti-aging medicine. Dr. Calipe specializes in reconstructive and neurotherapy for chronic pain and musculoskeletal disorders. And he's achieved fellowship certification for stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipe's office number in Long Island is 516-794-0404. We will repeat that number throughout the show. Now, here's Dr. Christopher Calipe.
Welcome, friends, and thank you for tuning in to the Optimal Health Program today. Hope you're all doing well. As you know, we're going to go over some of the research that I pick off the internet, find some interesting things to talk about. We'll be taking your calls as well here at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222, and we'll have a nice hour-long meeting, hour-long chat. Invariably, when I look at research, and there's a great comment on one vitamin for one thing, for example, chromium may help to lower blood sugar, and then the other day I was talking about curcumin being beneficial for helping to control or burn down blood sugar and good for diabetics. And then we talk about beta-carotene and exercise. When you put all of these things together, this is what I call my comprehensive medical nutritional approach. We're looking to put all of the best parts of diet, nutrition, vitamins based on your blood test, exercise, all of these great things together to really maximize your health and enhance your body's function. And for so many people who have gained that extra 10, 20, 30 or more pounds, bringing that weight back down in a safe, simple way without using, you know, medications, weight loss drugs, pills, which I don't think are safe, can put people into a much more healthy zone that you're really taking away the progression of disease. Because left unchanged, the extra weight, the high cholesterol, low vitamins, low hormones will make your body age and will make your body weaker over time. So it's a great educational mechanism to really understand what your body's doing and deal directly with it, with your requirements, your needs. So no matter what we do in terms of recommendations with patients, we will learn as much as we can about your body, looking at your vitamins, minerals, your hormones, absorption, digestion, allergies we can test for, cardiovascular risk, neurologic concerns we could look at and really get a true picture as to what's causing the problems that you're having. And then we can use different therapies to help to correct with that. So phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Adam. Hi there. How are you?
Hi, doctor. How are you?
Great. How can I help you?
I'm just finished the three shots for the hyaluronic acid for my knees. Yeah. And I, of course, blew past the cortisone. And my doctor was going to be going to a recent conference in regard to the umbilical stem stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was told can be more aggressive than the one that you take out of the pelvis is far.
No. Umbilical cord is somebody else's tissue. It's not legal here, and nor likely do I think that they will allow that because your body could reject it. In many cases, when people have gone outside of the country to get umbilical cord amniotic fluid, they get no benefit at all because it's a foreign substance. And as well, you don't know the genetics of the person that they're getting the material from. So you have to be very careful with that. That's still not allowed in this country, you know, for reasons, for important reasons. Now, I imagine your knee has been a problem for you for a while. Steroid injections may take some of the discomfort or inflammation down, but even though you don't feel it, your knee may be grinding and worsening with the steroid there. That's why I don't do steroid injections into the joint. I think that they're a little misleading because you can become worse, you know, for having that injectable there. And the others, the hyaluronic acid injectables, I started doing years ago when they first came out because the drug companies touted them as this spectacular thing. And I think we did 1,000 or so of them over the course of the first, it could have been 6 to 8 months or a year. But then everybody was saying, well, it's 2 months later and now my knee's bothering me again. So there's no change in the damage of your joint with a steroid injection or with an anesthetic, or with a lubricant. The only thing that repairs would be your own stem cells from your body, whether fat or bone marrow. So over the years of doing this, we did a great deal of fat until clinical trials said they wanted us to switch to bone marrow because we're getting more cells. And that's what we did. And you can see evidence of people getting wonderful results with their knees. We have people on my website that talk about their results. So okay. Have you had an MRI of your knee?
Yeah, I've had an MRI. I'm pretty much bone on bone. It was kind of odd because it didn't aggravate itself until I slipped down a couple of stairs 2.5 years ago. And when I went into my orthopedist, he said, I'm surprised you didn't see me 2 years ago because you're close to bone on bone.
And well, now you're an athletic guy? You're a big guy?
I'm a plumbing contractor. I do need to drop about 50 pounds.
Well, all I'm saying is that when you were a kid, you'd run around, play sports, you played ball, you were active. You didn't sit around and do nothing, I imagine. But all the wear and tear since you were a kid, and certainly to an extent when you're, I guess, kneeling down and doing some plumbing, all the plumbers that I know have bad knees, but they have gigantic forearms because they're constantly pulling and pushing on wrenches. They all have bad knees. So I imagine a combination of everything that's happened to your knees since you were younger has brought you to where you are today. And the episode that made you feel that pain just created a bigger tear from something that was evolving for a long time.
Right, right. So you have had success with...
Absolutely. I have one more important question for you. Did the MRI report say that you're bone on bone, or did the doctor just say bone on bone?
The doctor said it...
invariably, and I ask you this for a reason... Invariably, the term is used, and when I get the MRI or when I recommend the MRI for patients and we get the report, there's no such term there. I think that's the term where doctors make you think, oh, well, there's nothing else I could do. It's bone on bone. But I've seen so many of those people who are told that they should have some sort of surgery that have opted not to do the surgery because of the anesthesia risk and because the potential, outcome is not necessarily great.
Right. I did have a scope to clean it up back in 06, and from 06 until 2016, February, I was fine. So
there's a great article that we hand out in the office. It's in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was talking about going in to do the scoping, and you can find this online. It talks about arthroscopy versus using a more conservative approach that the outcome down the road doesn't really look any different. Now, my concern is if they've cut some tissue away, sooner or later, that new edge is going to grind down faster. And there's more research in the orthopedic journals that say if you do arthroscopy, you're more likely going to go sooner for a knee surgery or a knee replacement. That's in the medical journals, and I'm not certainly making this up. That's, very well-published information. So... I'd rather use something that's more natural, that's easy, that doesn't, present any difficulty, no general anesthesia, it's just a local. So I think it's a great deal easier. Look at the videos on my website. You'll see some pretty amazing things with stem cell therapy.
All right, well, I'm going to do that, and I'll give your office a call, and I appreciate
great.
Your time.
Love to help you out. Give us a call, and we'll set you up, 516-794-0404. And the website is www.drcal.com. .net. Okay, let's go next to Bob in Staten Island. Hi there, how are you?
Oh, hi, doctor. First of all, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, happy Father's Day.
And
happy Father's Day to all.
Right, where did stem cell therapy originate?
Well, we think that the first published information was done by Ernst Haeckel, a doctor in Germany, 150 years ago. Now, just like anything else, who was the first to come to America? Was it Columbus? Was it Leif Erikson? According to what I've seen on the History Channel, people were here way before Columbus was.
Oh, yes.
Not that I want to make the Colombian, fans feel bad, but the point is, that's when it seems to have first been published. So are there other doctors that were doing something similar and didn't get it published? Well, sure. Are there other doctors that saw that and then started to publish? Sure. All I know is that it's been a heavily published concept
right.
and procedure and therapy over 100 years. So we think about 150 years.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and you have a good week.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I'm going to try to find the article, the arthroscopy of the knee versus placebo, just to be able to talk about it and see if we can make a comment on it. I have it printed up in the office. This might be the one. Yeah, New England Journal of Medicine. So Massachusetts Medical Society, it talks about this exact mechanism. So the conclusions, and I'll get through all the medical terms. In this controlled trial involving patients with arthritis of the knee, outcomes after arthroscopic lavage, where they washed the knee out, or debridement, where they cut away tissue, were no better than those after placebo or conservative method. So that's an interesting comment. I think there are a variety of things that will cause someone to have a knee problem, and there are a variety of things that may be treatable more conservatively. And I still think it's an ideal technique to use your own cells to create your own repair. Now, if we go to look at the other article I was mentioning, talking about knee arthroscopy, let's look up knee arthroscopy. Bear with me for a moment. And future knee replacement. You can see once again that the information is specific, because the people that have arthroscopy typically have knee replacement sooner. So again, there are people that probably need a knee replacement because the cartilage is so shredded and the bone has edema, and there is grinding down of the bone where the bone is not round anymore. There are people that I've seen that have hips and shoulders where the ball is not a round ball. It is ovoid, and the grinding of the bone on the acetabulum, which is the part of the cup over the joint, it's just destroyed, and there's nothing that's going to change that other than a knee replacement where they cut, or a hip replacement where they cut the bone away, the damaged part, and replace it. So, once again, reality is you have to understand your body, learn about your body, maximize your health, do things that you can to keep your body from getting injured. I go to the gym 5 days a week, sometimes six. Invariably, I see people trying to lift the heaviest weight they possibly can and straining and struggling and twisting their body. You're going to blow something out. You're going to blow out your shoulder, your back, your neck. It just doesn't make sense to push for the heaviest weights. I typically recommend that people do lighter weights. Start with the lightest weight you can. Get full, good range of motion. Warm your body up. Give your body a chance to get ready. And then go incrementally heavier, but not the heavy weights, or do the heavy squats that, you know, you thought was a good idea back in the day. Invariably, those people have injuries that in many cases they can't get beyond without a major surgical procedure. Yet now, because, and I'm not sure why, yet there are videos all over the place of people doing sort of fascinating, odd exercises where they'll hold a weight and they'll stand up like a crane and one leg will be up in the air and the other way. I mean, there's all sorts of things being done creatively, which might be okay. I think it may give you some benefit to muscles that you don't normally use because you're never in those positions. But, you know, there's combinations of people that go to the gym that train in sort of a way that they feel is correct to train. Then, of course, you've got really good personal trainers sitting with people, showing them and teaching them about the muscle and the movement, incorporating stretching, massage. That's what I like, because people can't really get hurt that way. But it is what it is. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Chris in Green Township. Hi there. How are you?
Hey, great, doctor. How are you? Thanks.
Great.
Quick question. So I'm 35 years old. I've had 10 knee surgeries over the years.
Ten.
Five on each knee. I was playing soccer when I was all through college. So I'm been looking at the stem cell route for quite some time. My question is my last surgery was a meniscus implant from a cadaver. Have you guys had any luck with stem cells into a cadaver meniscus?
I'd have to look at research on that, but remember that meniscus is not the only tissue that is important in stabilizing your knee. You have your ligaments, your tendons, your connective tissue, so there's a lot that's going on there. So,
right. Yeah,
I would imagine that, you know, you have to understand that if there are two bones separated by a cushion, that cushion doesn't control the entire environment. And the ligaments and tendons and the connective tissue and some of the soft tissue help to create stabilization. So be curious to see what your MRIs look like. And that's, I don't really make a comment about what would or would not possibly occur without looking at what we're up against, how much wear and tear is there.
Okay. Yeah, the left knee has about 15% left of meniscus, and the right one where we haven't gone yet. That's the one that has the implant in it.
So we have. Okay. Well, I'll research it just because I'm on the computer all the time anyway, so that'll be one of the next things I research. So I always have loved to look at literature and research and finding out new information. It's one of the things that makes my brain happy, you know, digging up info and being able to comment on it. So I'll look at that.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Alrighty.
All right.
Great. Thank you so much for your call. Okay, so yeah, it's probably a blessing or a curse, but now and over the past bunch of years, the computers have become so speedy and rapid and capable. You know, I can get on the computer and find information out in seconds from anywhere in the world, from anything that's been, you know, published, you know, over 100 and some odd years. It's amazing. And at night, sometimes after dinner, I'll just sit there and look for articles and look and look and look and look. And all of a sudden, you know, it's midnight. So sometimes, you know, what I would call addiction for knowledge keeps me, you know, searching and looking for things and scanning the computer. But it's fun for me. I mean, I like it. Phone lines are open, 1-800-848-WABC. If you'd like to call in, do so now. The website's www.drcal.net, drcal.net. Great videos there, great articles there, lots of stuff for you to take a look at. Garden City office is 516-794-0404. And Plainview is 516-433-3232. Let's go to Peter in Fort Lee. How are you?
Yes, hello. Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Cal.
Yes, sir.
You have a great show, and
I
really appreciate a chance to chat with you. I wasn't sure if you might have insight on this. I'm recently, well, about 9.5 months now, wearing a lower denture, and I've had some dental issues that resulted in a denture. But what I noticed recently is starting to feel really, really bloated.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought initially, well, just gas or gassiness, but, you know, it sort of persisted. And then, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'm just eating something, eating improperly. But, you know, then my wife asked me to hop on a scale recently, and I actually put on about 25 pounds.
And well, I don't mean to laugh at you for that, but, you know, just hopping on a scale and seeing 25 pounds is a little bit of a shock. So,
yes,
to give you the...
I'm just wondering, insight into
this? Yeah, well, we do this all the time. So this is one of the body function 101, you know, comments that I'll have. So typically bloating comes from a variety of things. It can either be a food that you're allergic to, and that food can take a few days to create the symptoms, so you wouldn't have it the moment that you ate the food. So food allergy can do it. Excess carbohydrate can definitely do it on both fronts, where the carbohydrate, as it breaks down in your gut, is causing the bloating. And, you know, things that are grains, bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, or potatoes are not a grain, but rice, oatmeal, sugar in fruits. There are many things that have sugar or starch or carbohydrate that could make you bloat. Now, of course, beans can bloat you because you might get gassy, you know, from those foods as well. But the reality is, when we talk about testing you, we would test to see if you have any allergies to foods. If you do take those foods out, your symptoms will start to go away within a couple of days. if you do cut your carbs down and you take out bread, pasta, potatoes, rice, fruit, oatmeal, grains, any sugary things, you should also see the bloating goes away. And then your body will have a better time burning down fat. So if you do a little bit of walking every day with the low carb, you tend to be able to burn down some of the fat and the weight. Now, depending upon your age, we may need to correct your hormone levels and your vitamins as well. So that's why we do this, you know, big overview to see exactly what the causes are.
A lot of things then, right? Now, I was just wondering, actually someone said that it might be because I'm not chewing my food properly or, you know, something related to that. I figured, I'm usually a gavoon and I dig right in, but with the denture,
I was going to say, do you not chew your food? You just pile the food in? Maybe that's why you're gaining. I don't know. I can't imagine that. But I would be willing to bet the farm that you'll have a combination of a couple different things. I'm bet you're having too many carbs. I'm going to bet you have some allergy. And once you change that, you'll say, wow, my bloating's gone away. I'm losing the weight. I'm back to where I want. I have the energy. All of those good things again. We see this all day long. And sometimes I say to myself, wow, I'm saying the same paragraphs because they fit so well into the narrative. They fit so well into allowing people to understand the simple terms of what I say. And then when they write down what they're eating, write down how they feel, and they just document it, you know, they're astonished. But this is fact. You know, most people eat too much carb. Most people, you know, are eating foods that they're having some sort of reaction to. So
right. And I think that I'm such a creature of habit that, whatever my wife is good at making tends to be what I shovel in.
Well, but you know, that's being polite. That's being very polite to your wife. You know, whatever she makes, you know, you'll eat. I appreciate that. You're a good man. But, you know, the reality is, as I say, most people have too much carb, makes them feel bloated, makes them gain weight, makes them tired because the blood sugar starts to drop and you release insulin, you know, so this is very easy to fix. So starting off with the blood test, doing a little bit of the allergy screening, this is easy stuff. So we can certainly...
Maybe I'll give you a call. I really appreciate the insight.
My pleasure.
You're a gem on the radio.
Thank you.
We love you out here.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. Love you guys, too. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to helping you out. And I don't want to insult your wife if she's making lots of carbs for you. We just have to change path with some of the foods that you're having. So, and we're all creatures of habit. I've never met someone who didn't like carbs, who didn't want to have carb for breakfast, who didn't want to have a little snack or something sweet. It, you know, it doesn't exist. So once we fine-tune what your body requires, get better foods in, do the exercise, correct things, you feel like $1 million. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Tom in Connecticut. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Calipari. How are you doing?
How are you? Good.
Great. I have a question. I have neck pain, neck stiffness, and lower back pain. And I was told that my atlas is not right. It's off as far as the degrees. I remember what the number was. But would adjusting the atlas, is that something viable? Is that something I should do to...
Well, you have to be very careful. I mean, typically, doctors that do adjustments, osteopathic physicians like myself or chiropractors, these people specialize in working on the musculoskeletal mechanism of your body. I think that one of the first things you might do is do some massage and stretching and see if that helps. If a chiropractor diagnosed you as having a problem with the atlas, which is the first bone on the top of your skull that is the one that sort of coordinates with your skull depending upon position, that could be giving you issues, that could be giving you headaches. But I think you have to have it, you know, completely defined. An MRI of your neck would make sense because then you could see everything going on in your neck.
Oh, okay. All right.
Have you had any injuries or accidents?
No. I'm a plumber, too, so I've used my body, you know. And I don't. It just came about. I woke up one morning, my neck was killing me, my back, and I'm like. And then I went to the chiropractor, and he did an X-ray, and he said that the atlas was out of alignment. So that's why I'm calling you to see if.
Did he adjust you at that point?
No, because I couldn't. I had spasms, back spasms, and he couldn't even touch me.
Well, I would go to the MRI because the MRI is a great deal more information than an X-ray, and then take it from there. Okay. And then I would have some nice soft massage done, not that deep tissue massage. Where they try to, you know, bruise your bones. I had one of those once a long time ago. But a nice, soft massage just to stretch out the muscles in your neck and your back and see if you feel better.
Right, so you're saying treating the atlas is an option if that's the case?
Well, yeah, but in my world, you know, if the atlas has rotated out of position, for example, that's the best way to describe it, you need to stretch the muscles and do a little bit of traction so that it can go back into the position it needs to. I don't do forceful, nor would I recommend forceful, you know, adjustments, because I think that puts too much strain on the tissues. So I'm from a school of soft tissue work, and then allow everything to go back to where it is without a significant amount of force. There are different schools of thought on that.
Could you suggest anybody for that soft tissue work?
Yeah, there are doctors that... what town are you in?
I'm in Connecticut, but, you know, I can travel if I have to.
Yeah, I think some of the guys that are better at soft tissue and cervical are some of the osteopathic doctors who just do osteopathic manipulative technique. And the city is Dr. Gary Ostrow. He's on Madison Avenue. But there are probably a bunch of good DOs in Connecticut. I just don't know anybody up there.
Great. All right.
But look up osteopathic manipulation and see if you can find someone who does a nice soft technique.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll get you up on the air. Don't wait for the end of the program, because I can't get to all the calls in the last minute or so. Let's go to Larry in Norwalk, Connecticut. How are you?
Fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm also in Connecticut now. If, as you say, the stem cells injected into the blood, and then the bloodstream will take them to wherever they're needed,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be an ideal way to cure tinnitus? Just go right.
Well, we don't use the word cure because that's unusual expectation, unreasonable expectation. We have patients with so many different disorders where, when we've done stem cell therapy intravenously, it did get to the eyes, it got to the ears, the nose for sense of smell. You know, taste, we've seen people have results with their brain in Parkinson's, MS, stroke. So I believe that stem cell therapy, based upon the innate nature of your own cells that have only that one job, can help to repair a wide range of things in your body. Now, that being said, I don't know why you might have ringing in the ear or tinnitus. You may have damage to the three bones in your ear, the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. You may have heavy metal damage or inflammation in the inner ear. You could have a virus in the inner ear, or there's any number of things that might cause it. So I'd have to get a better handle first as to what's causing the problem and then put together recommendations to help to fix it.
Well, I didn't mean to use the word cure. I would maybe say...
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. I mean, we speak very plainly, and we should, and that's why I don't use big words. But invariably, as I say... we want to learn as much as we can about your body and start to fix things. I've seen people that have gone for cranial therapy that have had tinnitus go away. Cranial is an osteopathic technique where they just gently put traction on your head and they just, do a little bit of hands-on therapy to your head and neck, and in some cases going down your back. I've seen people that have had chelation done, and chelation removed heavy metals that were large in number when urine testing was done, and their tinnitus decreased or went away as a result of that. So... you know, I can't recommend one therapy for everything. Not every, you know, peg fits every hole. So you have to make a treatment ultimately specific to your body, but then what's causing the problems in your body? That's a better way to say it.
I was thinking in terms of some diseases which are known directly to be caused by cell damage, such as glaucoma, where it's not bones or anything else. It's just because the cells, you would think that the blood vessel would go into those cells.
Just look at the videos on my website. I mean, I can't make it easier for people to look at research. I have 2,000 articles there that you can actually click on the title and read about stem cells shutting down the inflammation of lupus or rheumatoid. We have videos of Parkinson's, MS, shoulders, joints, stroke patient. I mean, I put as much as I can up there. Every time a patient wants to be videotaped, we'll say, sure, we'll set up the videotape. So we have a few more coming up and more articles coming up. So I put up as much information as I can.
I was just wondering if historically there are examples where this actually has been done for those specific illnesses.
I'm sure there are, but remember, I haven't been all over the world, and I haven't looked at every speck of research, you know, 500,000 studies over the years. So I'd have to get on the computer, and as I spoke to the other gentleman, I'll have to look up stem cell therapy and tinnitus, and see if there is a protocol that's been done on 50 or 100 or 1,000 people. I don't know yet.
Yeah,
you know, there are people that call and ask for more rare issues, retinitis pigmentosa, well, you know, all sorts of different diseases, but I can't answer it until I get on the computer and look at it.
I was just thinking, with your vast experience, you may have personally come across somebody with those.
Well, I mentioned before, we've had people that have done 3 or 4 different techniques where the tinnitus has either decreased dramatically, so it wasn't a problem or it went away.
Or
but those are different therapies.
Or glaucoma, too. I wonder if you personally come across anybody who's actually significantly reduced it. But I know.
Yeah, I can't remember every single patient I've seen in 30 years.
Oh, sure.
But now I'll have to go back and try to figure out how to look for that. But I'll look online. That's
thank
the easiest place to look. Thank you for your call. So, yeah, as much as I know, and I know a lot over the years, and I've seen a great deal, and I've worked with thousands of patients, there are some diseases that, you know, A, we haven't seen, or B, we may have seen that got results from something else. And I do stand by my comment that I think the stem cell therapy is the greatest scientific discovery in medicine and health of all time. Because your body is repairing itself with its own cells. So I think that in and of itself is a terrific, terrific idea. Okay, let's go to Rob in Westchester. Hi there, how are you?
Okay, Dr. Atkal, I'll be happy for Father's Day.
Thank you.
Your phone screener, she kind of allayed my concerns. But, you know, my daughter was very sweet. She took me out for lunch for Father's Day.
Okay.
And I had something I normally wouldn't eat. It was an Akoi salad, and it was like yellowfin tuna. And it was like... I said, what is this, sushi? And he said, no, it's pan-seared on the outside, but it looked raw. And like now I'm just a little concerned, but your phone screener was saying, well, that's the way it's supposed to, that's what they do.
Yeah, typically they'll very quickly sear fish. Now, of course, it's cleaned. It's not as though it was on the boat and they just took a chunk of it and put it into a salad. You know, so you shouldn't have anything to worry about. You know, of course, when you go beyond what you're normally used to eating, people worry a little bit whether or not they'll have a reaction to it, and that may be warranted. Some people eat something and, you know, they're allergic to something, you know, where they'll get some hives or itchiness or a rash, or there's no way to know, but I think it should be fine.
Right, but, you know? I'm also thinking about, what about, like, parasites? I know they talk about sushi that's totally raw, and then, you know, people end up with parasites.
I'm sure there's a percentage of people that end up with parasites, but, I mean, think for a minute how many sushi restaurants there are in New York. Or in everywhere in the country, or everywhere in the world. You just don't see massive parasite outbreaks at all of these high-end sushi restaurants. So I'm not sure that having sushi will automatically give people an infection like a parasite.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe in a third-world country? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate my daughter. Just I normally wouldn't eat that, but I said it sounded good, and I thought it was going to be cooked. And then when it came out, like, you know, looked like raw, I was like, wow, but I ate it because I didn't want to offend her. And it,
well, you're very kind, but I don't think you have anything significant to worry about.
Okay, Doc. Thank you. You do a great job. God bless you.
All righty. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you, too. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. You know, this brings to mind an idea, and people should be a little bit more concerned what they're eating. And based upon what Rob is saying, you know, I have a lot of people that just eat junk food and go to restaurants that eat junk food. I mean, when they first come into the office, and I try to dissuade them from doing so, and after they start to eat better food and they go a little bit more organic or more holistic in their ideas and they get healthier and they lose weight, then they continue to do it because they can really feel it. Now, yes, you might be dying to have some food that's really bad for you, but that food that's really bad for you might be making you die sooner than if you don't eat it. So I try to get people to a mindset where they should put the best things they can into their system. Best combination of vitamins based upon a blood test. Best foods, best protein sources, best vegetable, fiber sources, carbohydrates, low sugars, good fats and oils. And you'd be surprised how well people will do, even over the course of a couple of weeks, by changing that mechanism. So much of what people eat makes them feel groggy, bloated, achy. There are so many inflammatory reactions that happen when people are eating foods that are either filled with chemicals or that they might be allergic to. And I joke around with people and I tell them, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I try. I do the best I can. And I'm going to suggest that you don't eat these foods for the next month. And day to day, write down exactly what you feel by doing this process. And invariably, the people that will write down day-to-day little notes, they'll say, I can't believe it. My headaches are gone. I can't believe it. My bloating, changes in my bowel movement are now back to normal. And they'll just have a whole list of things, you know, and they're thrilled. They're happy. I look like a genius. I'm certainly not, but it's just because I've seen this so many times. I've learned this so many times, you know, from patients. It's one of the more common things that I tell people to do. So be a little more aware of what you're eating. Get away from chemicals. Get away from things that are, you know, heavily processed. And start, you know, buying organic. I joke around with my friends and my family and all my patients now about, you know, this zucchini slicer to make zucchini that looks and tastes like pasta and put lots of vegetables in it, or do that with cauliflower. Chop it up so it looks like the shape of rice. And you could have that either mashed, or you could put olive oil and garlic and almond slices. And you could do a million things with these foods. And they taste totally different. So I enjoy doing that. My mom, my Aunt Nina, over at my parents' house today, were sitting there, and Aunt Nina took some peppers. And she put a variety of things in these little yellow and red peppers. And they were delicious. Just put them in the oven. But it's really enjoying the flavor more than anything else, you know, and saying, well, I don't need that other kind of food. I don't need a dog or a burger. I'm going to have these foods. And you'll be healthy and you'll be happy for it. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in, do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to George in Yonkers. How are you?
Hi, doctor.
Yes, sir.
My question is about when you have herniated discs in the cervical region, and the doctor tells you to go to the pain management guy and get an epidural steroid shot. Are they safe to get?
They've done millions of them over the years. And what they're doing is that they're taking this injectable through a needle, going in between your vertebrae into the area where your spinal canal with the fluid and your spinal cord sitting in there is, and they're just putting a steroid inside your spinal canal. That would tend to decrease inflammation, and you might feel better from it. But I don't know if that's going to change the cause of your problem. So I don't know that I would do that as the first choice. There are different therapies to do to help to take some of the discomfort away from your neck, but I would need to look at the MRI to really see what's happening. For some people, we'll recommend massage, physical therapy. I've even done prolotherapy or platelet-rich plasma therapy injections to make the ligaments stronger, and that could help to take away the pain, but hard for me to make a direct recommendation without looking at your MRI. Are you in pain all the time?
All the time, no. In fact, it's been fading away as the weeks go by.
Well, if it's fading away, then I wouldn't necessarily run to stick in a big needle into the...
It moves about. It used to be down my right arm. Now that seems to be gone. Now it's moved to my thumb and some of the toes and in the calf area. So I don't know.
Well, I'd like to look a little bit more specifically at an MRI of your neck or MRI of your, you know, middle or your low back. I'd have you do some nice massage. I'd have you do some physical therapy so they can start massaging, working on your muscles. I'm not sure that even for myself that I would run to have a big needle injected to put the steroid inside.
Are those epidural shots dangerous? Can they cripple you?
To an extent, I don't think they can cripple you, but, you know, it's a relatively delicate procedure because you're taking a decent-sized needle that has to be able to push through the posterior longitudinal ligament and get inside where the spinal fluid is. That's how they do a spinal tap. So it's not a day at the beach, you know. So there are other options.
What would you do first before the shot?
I would probably do a little bit of very soft and gentle massage, maybe some physical therapy. And if you need to go beyond that, then I would do prolotherapy or platelet-rich plasma. So.
Okay, very good, doctor.
All righty. Great. Thank you for your call. Certainly take a look at the website, and you can see some great information. If you'd like to, we'd love to help you out. Let's go next to Sandy in Hoboken. Hi there. How are you?
Very good, doctor. My dad's got progressive dementia. He's 90 years old. He sleeps a tremendous amount.
Yep.
Just Do you have any feedback or any suggestions?
Well, over time, people that have dementia, that's been correlated with a variety of things. Vascular dementia, where blood vessels get clogged up and the brain can't get oxygen, vitamins, minerals, hormones. Of course, those are going to decline anyway in people as they get older. They may not be absorbing well or not taking vitamins. Some people have a pretty significant heavy metal burden, especially aluminum, that's correlated directly with dementia and Alzheimer's. There are protocols worldwide that talk about using stem cell therapy for dementia and Parkinson's and MS and stroke. And this is one of the things that we've done. And for some people, you see pretty significant results, even over a relatively short period of time. And that's why we put those videos on the website. So you do have the ability to use your own cells to help to repair your body. So that's an option. But I can't tell you, you know, what day a person would respond or which things would happen first. But it's by far the most natural therapy that exists because they're only your cells coming from your body.
I see.
So that may very well be a viable option. And we've seen patients with things such as Alzheimer's and senile dementia, the Alzheimer's type, and even worse diseases. But I think that would be a good option. Some people have issues with memory and focus and concentration because they're vitamin depleted. And you give them B12 shots and they start to perk up and have better energy and memory. B12 has got to be converted into methyl B12, which becomes acetylcholine. That's why B12 is so important to convert to help to stimulate your brain. But I would look at every part of the picture.
Okay. Well, very good.
Yeah, take a look at the website. You'll see some interesting videos and articles. And there's lots of articles in the bottom of the website. You could just either click on dementia or Alzheimer's in that box and then look for articles specific to that.
Do you have a like percentage of people that would be successful using stem cells for dementia?
I don't. There's probably in the hundreds of people that we've done with each of the different disorders, but I don't know how many people and how quickly results happen. I can tell you a couple of the most amazing stories of a patient who came in who was late into her 70s. She didn't talk, wasn't verbal at all, and the same day after treatment, she was talking all the way home in the car the next day, and she was able to eat food at a restaurant, and she couldn't cut her food before. So some people respond very quickly. Some people it takes a longer amount of time, but there's no way to know how much damage one person has compared to the next. There's no way to look at how many cells are damaged in your brain or your heart or your lungs compared to someone else. So that's the only thing that we don't know. But the idea of using your own cells to repair your own body just makes more sense than anything else. And most of the drugs don't really work for these disorders in these patients. It's unfortunate, but most of the drugs don't work.
I see. All right, well, great. I'll look at your website. Thank you very much.
Terrific. Look forward to helping you out. Thank you for your call. Okay, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so right now. Let's go next to Lorraine. Hi there. How are you?
Good evening. I try to listen to you every week because you are so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
And you go with what I have learned over the years. People are so resistant to try new things.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, you know, and I don't know why. I think people like being in their zone.
People like to take a pill, really, is what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Because about 5 years ago, I had pain into my bones, and I went to every doctor, and you're pre-this and almost this and not quite this, and, you know, I was listening when Dr. Ash used to be on the radio, and I used to listen to him, and I went down to him. And
he's a nice guy. It's sorry that he passed.
Oh, my God, I was devastated.
So what sort of problems are you having now, or what did you do?
No, I tell you, I followed his advice. You pay that money, so you want to listen to what they tell you to do. Change my diet. I'm on a low-alkaline diet, fruits, vegetables, no packaged foods and all of that nonsense everybody eats. He put me on supplements. And
well, the reality of doing this, and of course I've done this for 30 years, and then beyond that, because we also do stem cells and everything else, the reality is your body will tell us what to do, and most people don't understand that. It's not like I'm trying to throw something at you or do this or that. It's learn about your body, and yeah, if you're allergic to this or you're eating this way and we change that a little bit and you feel better, you'll follow that. And now if you have more energy because we've corrected the defect in your thyroid hormone or we've used methyl B12 or whatever, it's really your body that tells us exactly which way to go. No doctor can magically just throw something. It really should be learning about you and then adapting according to that. And that's what will make the patient happy because they've learned something, you know, and they'll stick with it because they feel it.
You know, you just can't tell, oh, maybe I should take this, maybe I should take that. No, They test you need this, you need that.
You're in a different realm of understanding, because most people say, I take vitamins, I do this, I do that, but it's totally nonspecific, and I try to explain to them, but you're taking vitamin D, but your levels are 10, so whatever you're taking isn't working. So that's why educating a person is the most significant part of the process. And, you know, the old saying of give a man a fish and he eats for a night, teach him how to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. It's really sort of the same thing. You teach someone how to be healthy and stay in that realm, and they'll do it forever. I'm very happy that you're doing really well. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Let's go next to John in Trenton. How are you?
Yes. Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay, so my question is like this. I went through a very frightening situation for about a week and a half. I don't have to go into too many details, but basically my daughter said I had started having seizures. They weren't sure what it was, and I guess I got very worried, you know, in and out of the hospital, ambulances. And I just had my wisdom teeth taken out. There's a lot going on at once.
Oh, boy.
And then after everything calmed, like 2 days later, when I, you know, I got some good results back from the MRI and all that, and things were clear, and it's just pediatric epilepsy, which I still have to deal with, but it wasn't anything.
Yeah, a lot of times for kids, it's an infection that will sort of trigger that, so that's not really unusual, but you really have to get to the bottom of it, of course.
Right.
Well, what's your question?
So my question is, so the Wednesday after everything stopped, about 3 days later, I started developing, you know, like achiness and tingling in my face and my fingers and my legs. And I got very nervous that something's wrong with me, something's very serious wrong with me. So, and I stuck it out for a few days, but it wasn't going away. So I went to a doctor, and he said it's anxiety. You know, calm down.
Well, yeah, it might very well be that your body was so tweaked up and producing extra adrenaline and cortisol and depleting all your hormones because your mind is pulling you through this horrendous series of circumstances that you just, you just got burnt out. And that is the side effect of what psychologically became physical for you.
Right.
So stress reduction, you know, testing your vitamins, your hormones, looking at all of this will give us a true idea as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Most doctors don't do those tests.
And then I waited another week and a half, 2 weeks, still didn't go. So I went back to the doctor because I started getting very nervous again. And he said, let's take a blood test. Blood test is clear.
Yeah, but their blood test is not that thorough. I mean, typically my blood test, when we ask you lots of questions and really learn about you, is about 20, 25 pages. So it's a great deal more information.
But do you think that since it's like 9 weeks later and I'm, you know, things have been calm, and the only thing that's getting me nervous is every other day is a new symptom, but one goes and one comes.
Well, you're rapid-firing questions to me, but I think that there are things there for a reason. How old are you now?
32.
At 32, your hormones can't be completely gone, but I would look at your thyroid, DHEA, testosterone. I'd look at all these things because I want to see a trend of where your body's going and then put together recommendations to try to fine-tune it. So you know what's happening in your skin. I don't, because you're there and I'm here. So if I were to sit down with you and ask you questions along with, you know, taking your comments, documenting things, and trying to sort this all out, that would be the best way to determine what to do.
Right.
Because we're looking at all the underlying causes.
Right. Right. Okay.
All righty. I'd love to help you out. So take a look at the website, drcal.net, and you can certainly give us a call at the office. It's 516-794, Dr. Cal, D-R-C-A-L, .net.
What's the number again, 516?
516-794-0404.
0404. Okay, thank
Great.
You so much.
Thank you for the call. Good talking to you. Yeah, I mean, maybe more so now than ever before, people are stressed out. Whether it's issues they have at work or with family or with their kids, you know, the list of things that stress people out is pretty long. I think it's always been there, but I think people have less of an ability to stay healthy, in part because they're just not eating right. They don't take time to sit down and have a normal or a healthy meal, and they're eating junk food, and that just makes your body work poorly. You know, if you're getting bad oils into your body, it's not going to help. It'll hurt. If you're not getting your vitamin requirements met, it's not going to help. You know, also for some people who tend to drink more or a lot when they're stressed out, the alcohol may calm them down, but the sugar from the alcohol and the insulin release and all of that will make you feel horrible. So you have to get a better handle on what your body needs, what it requires, and just put those things in place all the time. Add some routine exercise. Even walking around the block would be fine. You know, eating small amounts of food every couple of hours, not eating gigantic breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That obviously has always been a bad idea. You know, let your body tell you what's happening. You might be allergic to grains, and you might feel tired and bloating, you know, from an allergy or a delayed reaction to something that you're eating. And once you find that out, if you change your diet and you start to feel better, great. So we've gained some ground. But this is the best way to do it. This is the thorough way to do it. So once again, if you'd like to call in to ask a question, you could do so now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. And we can chat. Let's take a look and see what we have literature-wise. We didn't touch on that today. Interesting, leucine increases muscle function in the geriatric population. Now, obviously, as you get older and your hormones are low and your vitamins and your amino acids are low because you're not taking anything, you know, the more you deplete your vitamins and your proteins and your amino acids, the more your muscles become weak. So correcting each of these things, and we'll recommend that people use a protein shake or protein powder just to get the extra amino acids. And this is an interesting study. They looked at people that were 69.5 years of age and older. They had a variety of different muscle weakness phenomenon, even rheumatoid, some with polymyalgia rheumatica. But the people that took leucine supplementation in their protein shake had significant stability in their muscle function, a little bit more strength, less pain. So that's one thing out of many that could help your muscles. Now, of course, if you're 69.5, 0.6, or whatever age, we want to get your vitamin, mineral, hormones the right range, your vitamin D levels corrected. Do some exercise every day if you want. Do a little bit of weight training. You know, try to do a half hour to 45 minutes every day of an activity that gets a lot of blood flow. Get a lot of oxygen to your cells. Maximize your delivery to all of your cells of your vitamins, minerals, hormones, and oxygen. Okay, next call is Diana in New Rochelle. Hi there, how are you?
Hi, I've just begun listening to your program. This is
the second time.
I am very impressed
and
intrigued by your information. My question is the use of antidepressants. And obviously you have to use them on a long-term basis. So
yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of relying on a drug long-term if we can start to change the underlying causes. Now, of course, for some people the drug is a lifesaver. For some people, doctors haven't really worked them up and will put them on the med, and some people might do okay on the med. But for depression, panic, anxiety, irritability, whether people are on medications or not, we always see underlying causes, and some of it could be a decline in thyroid hormone, DHEA, which is adrenal hormone, a stress hormone, estrogen, progesterone for women, testosterone in men and women, low IGF-1, which is the active component of growth hormone. So we want to look at all of those things and correct those back to where you were at a younger age to see how your brain and your body work, and typically will work far better. Those are the primary causes of depression that I see. Now, we also see that foods can do it because high carbohydrate intake makes your blood sugar go up pretty high, your body gets scared, will dump insulin and knock your sugar all the way down, and low blood sugar can make you anxious, depressed, panicky, irritable, all sorts of symptoms. So those are the two most common underlying causes we see. There are also people who don't convert B12 to methyl B12, and methyl B12 converts into acetylcholine, which is one of your neurotransmitters, your brain chemicals, so we need to look at that. So we have to look at everything behind the scenes to see what's occurring.
Mm-hmm. And you can get a lot of information from your blood tests.
Okay? Oh, sure. Absolutely.
All right. I'm
absolutely.
I plan to call and make an appointment with you.
Sure. And then urine, by the way, because urine we look for heavy metals, and heavy metals can damage your neurotransmitters and cause anxiety and depression as well. So there are many things to look at so that we can really see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much for the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. It's interesting, and as I say, when I see patients, I find myself saying similar paragraphs like I just said about people that have anxiety and depression, because it really is the easiest way to say it. I don't use big terms. I don't want to confuse anybody. So we'll try to gather information, do the testing, and then explain everything in very easy-to-understand terms. Very straightforward. And then as we suggest that patients do different things, and they feel a little bit better, and they walk a little more, and they feel better, and their vitamin levels are great, and we recheck the blood to see that the vitamins are in a perfect range. If not, we'll bring them up a little further or correct their thyroid a little bit more. As we do all of this, people get better and better and better, and that becomes ultimately reinforcing to keep doing what's working. That's human nature. If something's not working right away, they abandon it. But if you take vitamins on your own, you'll never get any benefit. And most of what the vitamins do anyway, you don't see or feel immediately. Friends, thank you for listening to the program today. God bless you all. Have a marvelous day. Be back on next Saturday morning, live, 8 to 9 on the amazing WABC. The phone number in Garden City is 516-794-0404. Plainview, 516-433-3232. Website, www.drcal.net. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye now.